Welcome to That Anger Management Crap. I'm your host, Matthew Plotner. Each week, I will cover a topic related to anger and its many subtleties and nuances. I hope that this podcast will show that anger management is not all about take a deep breath and count to 10. So stay tuned as we explore that complex emotion of anger. Hey guys, welcome back. Today, I've got a special treat for everybody. I'm going to give you guys a take on anger from the other side of the coin, so to speak. I'm going to talk to my wife today, Chrissy, who's going to kind of share my journey. I haven't talked a lot about who I was in the past yet and where I came from. So we're going to do that today. So I want to introduce Chrissy. Chrissy, say hi.
Hi.
So first thing I want to ask is, what was it like when we first got together? What made you so drawn to this person who soon became such an angry person for you?
Well, you weren't angry in the beginning. You were really sweet and funny and kind of insecure and kind of vulnerable, and you were nervous to kiss me. And you were this just happy guy that just wanted to have fun. And we had our mutual friend,
yeah,
that introduced us, and you were even fun then, and plus you were this cute guy.
So what changed then, in your opinion? What was the difference between that and, I know for me, it was after we got married.
Exactly.
That it sort of became this, okay, well now, I hate to say the word stuck, but now you're stuck, and now the me that has to control the situation, the me that has to be the one that is so insecure of losing what I think I now have, kind of took over.
Yeah. Well, So when we got married is when all the rules, I guess we'll call them, started.
What do you mean by rules? Go ahead and share with everybody what those rules were.
Well, example, in my former single life, I've always been a night owl. I don't sleep well at night. It's just not something I've ever done. So I like to stay up late and watch television. It's just something I've always done. It's not a very responsible adult thing, but it's always something that I've done. And when we got married, it was, all right, it's 10:30. It's time to go to bed. And it was, you know, always put towards my benefit. You know, like, oh, you have work in the morning. You have to come to bed. And just stuff like that. I wasn't allowed to have the television on at night because the light and the noise keeps you up.
Well, you didn't have a TV in our room until a couple years ago.
Yes. But I wasn't also allowed to not stay. Note the word allowed. Was not allowed to stay downstairs and watch television, or stay in the other room or the living room and watch television, because that would also have light and noise. And it was an irresponsible behavior and I was making bad choices. And you didn't like that. If I did disobey, I guess we'll call it that, it would always be a fight. It would always turn into a dumb slamming door, angry conversation. It was never, we couldn't talk like normal people. Either you would completely shut down after you blew up, or it would just become this tense situation that I'm not comfortable with. I've always been kind of a people pleaser.
Mm-hmm. Oh, trust me, I know.
And I think you picked up on that. Mm-hmm. And
that's what the control freak looks for.
Yeah. Well, you found it. Yeah. So I've always been a people pleaser. And you knew that it made me, I don't like uncomfortable situations. I like things just out there. I like to just move past it and be comfortable and laughing and stuff like that. And whenever I played by your rules, so to speak, you would let that happy guy out. It'd be the nice Matthew.
So let's talk about that then. Why did you stay in such a
messed up,
horrible, hell of a relationship for so many years?
I think it's actually a multifaceted situation. So number one is, whenever you were happy, Matthew was this great fun guy and I could see him peeking out every now and then, you know, the guy who wanted to have fun and talk and be silly, you know, you would let your guard down and you would be silly with me and it was great. And at the end of the day, I always had a, there was also that stereotype thing, right? All women have that stereotype of, you know, guys and husbands never want to spend time with your wives. So if the worst thing I could say about my relationship was that my husband wanted to spend a lot of time with me, that makes me a real bitch if I don't want that, right? If all I want to do is, you know, spend time away from him and that's why we're fighting. We're fighting because I want time with my friends or time with my family without him or just time without him. That makes me a horrible person because all he wants to do is spend all of his time with me.
But how much of that thought process came from you and how much of that thought process came from the bullshit that got put in your head?
I think it is. I think because of the fact that I am Southern, you know, like there's a lot that's like kind of taught to you from a very young age of your expectation of relationship and marriage and what a wife's job and duty is and all that stuff. And I think that some of that got put in my head and, you know, conversations with friends of, you know, all of my friends got married young and all of us kind of went through different marriages with different struggles, right? No marriage is perfect. Everyone's going to have their own cross to bear, so to speak.
Sure.
And most of my friends had the situation where their husbands didn't want to spend time with them. You know, like, oh, he's out tonight. He's out with his friends drinking at the bar. He never invites me. Oh, he's cheating on me. You know, like all of these horrible situations that came up. Oh, he's an alcoholic. Oh, he's an abuser. Oh, you know, just all these different things. And that wasn't our case.
You don't think so? You don't think there was abuse there?
It was never at upfront level. Well, it was always below the surface.
Sure, 99% of abuse is behind closed doors.
Yeah, but it was never like I didn't show up with a black eye to church. You know what I mean? Like, it was never so aggressive that it couldn't be explained away. You were very good at being an abuser. I don't know.
Very good at control and violence and aggression and even anger. I was very, very talented when it came to anger.
Well, there's different definitions for that, but yes. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of what happened is that I thought it was either maybe marriage was different for different people. You know, I mean, my dad was always very controlling over my mom and I thought that was normal. So I grew up, I mean, obviously my dad's a great guy, blah, 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 blah. But my dad was very controlling, very jealous. My mom wasn't allowed to have a lot of friends outside of the marriage. My mom wasn't allowed to have a lot of guy friends. She wasn't allowed to have personal space or hobbies. And, you know, when you watch it as a child, you know, you think, oh, it's because, you know, my dad's working all the time. My mom's working all the time. What time does she have to invest in these hobbies? She needs to be investing in her family. It's not until you become an adult when you realize you have to have sanity. And sometimes time away makes you a better mother, makes you a better father, makes you a better person.
I agree. I think it's funny you say that because you met my parents. I grew up in that same exact household, just the other sort of the other coin. Yeah. And my dad was always the breadwinner. And that's where my relationship came from with you was my mom was never anywhere that my dad wasn't ever. Correct. Never.
Yeah.
And I just, like you said, I assumed, oh, well, that's how a marriage is supposed to be. That's how marriage is supposed to work. It's supposed to be you're all each other has. And the fact that you wanted to go outside of the relationship, you wanted to go outside of me as being the sole provider for all of your emotional and physical needs was a failure. And I couldn't be a failure. No man wants to be a failure. God knows, especially in his marriage. Kind of candy ass man is failing in his marriage. And that's exactly how it was in my head, was failure.
Yeah.
And the only way to stop the failure was to control it away through anger, violence, scare you enough when some way, shape, or form that was no longer a concern.
Well, it worked. I mean, it worked for a very long time. And
4 years?
Then it didn't. Yeah. yeah.
So for those of you that don't know me, actually after, 4 years of marriage?
Four and a half.
About 4.5 years of marriage, I wound up spending 24 hours in jail.
Correct.
Getting charged with, what was it, aggressive? I forget now.
It was assault.
Aggravated assault. Yeah. Domestic violence. That's what it was. Uh-huh. And had to do the whole anger management classes, had to do the whole everything, which is actually what got me down this path. I met my absolute best friend because I spent 3 years in his class after only being sentenced to 12 weeks. Mm-hmm. And it totally changed, I think, anyway. It did. You can correct me. But it totally changed sort of the course of where my emotional self was going. That doesn't mean that I don't get angry still.
Correct.
And that's kind of where I want to go now is during those emotional outbursts of me getting angry now, what do you see different? How do you handle it now versus then?
I think now I'm able to call you on it. And you understand that it's a problem and you check yourself. Don't get me wrong. We had some growing pains getting here. You went through your, I don't know, what do you call that phase again?
The annoying phase?
Yes, the annoying phase. You went through your annoying phase and that was horrible. But you've gotten a lot better. I think now I'm able to help you check yourself. I don't mean that to sound condescending. Please don't take it that way. But when you start going down a path where you're disconnecting, when you're maybe saying things that you wouldn't say if you had like a moment to breathe or think or reflect or just see yourself from the outside, the way you're reacting over situations, I think now I'm able to kind of go, I'm not scared of you anymore. I don't know if that sounds, I agree. Sounds horrible, no. Doesn't it? It sounds
true, though.
I mean,
that's what the controller, the non-aggressive, non-physical abuser looks for, is that fear of punishment. I only have to punish you once. Then after that, it's just that fear. You punish yourself after that. We do that as humans for everything, though. Everything, we punish ourselves more than others can punish ourselves.
Correct.
It's the fear of the punishment that drives us, not the punishment itself.
Well, I don't know. I'm not afraid of you anymore. I don't know if that sounds, I don't know. But yeah, before you kind of had this mode you would go through, right? You would lay out blatant threat. This is what's going to happen. You would give me ultimatums all the time. If you do that, blank. If you do this, blank. Just ultimatums. I don't know why, but that was kind of like your card.
Mm-hmm.
And, even when you would agree to something, you would emotionally blackmail me out of it. Like, you would be like, oh, go for your girls' night. You have fun with that. I want you to go out with your friends. I'd be gone for maybe 30 minutes, just sat down and gotten drinks or just sat down and got our salad. And it would be, what are you doing? I miss you. I'm home alone. I'm watching a movie by myself. Just blatant crap here. And then I'd text you back, you know, something to docile, you know, to calm you down. Oh, well, I love you. I'll see you in a few. An hour later, you said you'd be home soon. Where are you? And it would just turn into this thing where it was like, I don't want to do girls' nights anymore because I know what it's going to lead into. It's going to lead into emotional blackmail. And then when I get home, you would have two modes then, right? You would have, I'm so happy you're home, nice, Matthew. Or you would have emotional outburst, eggshell for days, Matthew. So it was, I never knew what powder keg of a situation I was going to walk into. And it was scary.
Which is another abuse tactic of, if I'm always reacting the same way to every situation, you know what to expect. And therefore, you know how to react. If I'm not, then that keeps you guessing. And that's another tactic of emotional abuse.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it is what it is.
I know.
I'm not hiding from who I was. Who I was not a good person.
I don't know if you were a bad person. I don't think that's a good term for it. But I think you were a very insecure, lost person. I think that's more fair to you.
Okay, we'll go with that.
I mean, you weren't like out like beating puppies. You were just an angry guy that blew up and was very picky about things. But yeah, no, that week before you went to jail is when I saw how my life kind of could be. You were gone. And I remember basically feeling like a 4-year-old with the ice cream left out. I would come home from work and I would eat something that I liked. It could be whatever I wanted. And that was another thing. You were so crazy about foods in the house. You didn't want seafood in the house. You hated the smell of it.
Yeah, God, now I love seafood.
I know, right? So I
just had salmon last night, actually.
I know. And that's the crazy. Like, you hated, like, things that you didn't like, I couldn't do. It was just, like, this whole thing. So I remember that week you were gone, I got, like, crap food. And I would come home from work, and I would just sit and watch crappy reality television. And I was free. I know that sounds horrible.
No, that's how a relationship should be. You should be free to be you in a relationship, in a healthy, functioning relationship.
Correct.
You shouldn't be afraid of not being you. I think that's what makes it healthy. You shouldn't rely on one person for all of your needs. Haven't gotten to that podcast yet on needs. We'll get there. But it's important not to rely on one person for all of those emotional, physical needs. It turns into bitterness and resentment and anger and hostility and rage because no one person can meet all of those needs. It's not possible.
It's not. And before we got together, I mean, like, I had a large network of friends that were practically family. You know,
I think that was the other thing that made me so mad is I don't. All of my friends got sort of left behind when I moved down here from Buffalo.
Yeah.
And you've got friends that you've been friends with since kindergarten.
Before.
Yeah. And there, for me, there was a level of jealousy. And we've talked about this before on the show is for as men and as most people, right? Not just men, but as most of us, we don't deal with jealousy. So jealousy has to then be turned into something because it can't just not exist. So it has to be turned into something. So for me, I turned it into anger, turned it into rage. I turned it into even almost a hatred for you. And that level of camaraderie, that level of connectiveness you had with somebody other than family.
Well, I think it's just the fact that I think you could obviously have more connectiveness and camaraderie and all of that. I think you just didn't open yourself up for it. I've always, you know, been pretty open. I've always had a large network of people and I've always invited more people in. I think it's that insecurity that most guys have of rejection, which is why they don't have these, you know, Sex in the City type friendships. I mean, I don't know any other way to put it, but like, I think that's why shows like Sex in the City and The L Word and Gossip Girl and all these shows are just so popular is because they highlight the fact that women are a lot more open in their relationships and guys are just a little bit more insecure and they're not as connected. And I think that men can have that level of intimacy and friendships, but I think that guys are just so afraid of it questioning their manhood to be connected to another guy or the rejection, right? The rejection of another person, another guy saying, not so much. I think society sets men up for failure in that aspect.
No, I agree. And I think it's funny you use the word intimacy because for most men, you hear that word and it's automatically assumed to be sexual intimacy.
Yeah.
And that is so not even the case. Intimacy should always start in a non-sexual place first.
Yeah.
I think intimacy is more of a non-sexual thing. It's about being free to be who you are with somebody.
Yeah.
Hopefully you feel that you can be who you are, who you always have been more with me now. I know, what was it, 2 years ago, a year ago now? You took that trip to Savannah with a friend of yours?
Yes. We did that. And I also went on that trip in October for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of where I want to kind of highlight now is the transformation, the change that is possible coming from the calling you every 30 minutes, the guilt tripping you, the all of the shit that I used to do to now if you went to Savannah for a weekend with a friend of yours, and I think you actually called me more than I called you.
I don't know. I mean, maybe. But I don't think we talked very much, to be very honest with you.
No, because it was your getaway from the house, reconnect. You were doing photos up there or something.
Yeah.
And it was just your I need away time. I need me time.
Yeah.
And I think that's a healthy thing. You need that. Everybody needs that. Everybody needs that time away, which would have never, ever happened during that 4.5 years.
Well, and I think that you've gotten a lot better with your anger, but I still think there are hot button friends of mine who that situation couldn't occur with without some emotional eggshell or blackmailing.
You think so? So I still have work
I think you do.
I think we all still have work.
Correct. Well, and I'm not like a perfect spouse. Like, let's not sit here and pretend like I'm just great. When you were, I don't know, I guess. I like to say the word mean to me. When you were mean to me, I used to lie to you constantly. I'm a horrible liar. You knew when I lied. I'm a horrible liar.
But there's there's another valid thing that comes from the controller and controlee, if you will call it, relationship, is you have to present that reality. And the control freak has to then accept that reality unquestioning for that dynamic to work. And it's something that I think all controlling relationships go through, is I'm more comfortable with the lie than I am with the truth in these situations. So if you're going to lie to me, that's fine, because then it comforts me. And I'm okay with, even though I know it's bullshit, I'm okay with the lie, because it keeps me in my own sort of bubble that I've created for myself.
Yeah.
The bubble of, this is everything in my life fits into this nice little box that I've created for it. And as long as it fits into that box, it's okay. As soon as it steps out of that box,
we got problems.
Yeah, hell's gonna break loose, right?
Yeah. No, it was weird. Like, I don't know. The stuff he used to get angry at was so crazy to me.
Like what?
Do you remember when you worked third shift?
Oh, and Lord,
I used
yeah.
to go to the pool?
You used to go to the pool, or you used to go hang out with friends and play video games?
Yeah.
Or watch them play video games?
Watch them play video. I don't even play video games. But I had your little sister with me the entire time. There was no, like, possibility of anything crazy. Like, I've never been a big drinker, you know that. And I definitely wasn't going to drink with, you know, your little baby sister with me. And we would go to the pool and just, like, hang out with people. And I think I told you about it one time. And you, like, flipped out.
Well, because you didn't fit into my little box. My little box told me that when I'm at work, you're supposed to be at home, taking care of the wifely duties of the house, whatever that may be. I don't know. It's cooking, cleaning, whatever, right? I don't know.
Of course, obviously. At third shift, midnight, I'm going to be cleaning and cooking. Obviously. That's what I'm saying, though. Like, it was just weird. Like, you would get angry about that. Like, you couldn't possibly go to the pool with us. Oh, my gosh. What other dumb stuff would you get mad about? My friend, do you remember?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Right? There was not a snowflake's chance in hell that anything would ever happen there.
Better chance for him to get with me than for you.
Correct. And I mean, like, that's like a multi-layered situation. One, I'm not Britney Spears. And two, even if I was, still not his type. And I remember you getting angry over my relationship with him.
Well, because for me, it was almost an intimate relationship with another man, even though you were nowhere near his type.
Correct.
Again, I was more his type.
Correct.
But it was that level of intimacy that you two shared that was mine. That was meant for me. And nobody else could have that. Nobody else could muscle in on that intimacy. Because, again, my brain, it doesn't now, thank God, but my brain then equated intimacy to sexuality.
Well, I think you also thought that there was only a certain amount of love or something.
No, wholeheartedly.
And if I gave him or any of my other friends that amount of love, that I wasn't giving it to you. And I'll be honest with you, when we got to that, I don't know, bad spot at year four, I didn't have enough love for you. I didn't. I was so done. I had you had killed so many parts of me. I don't know. I mean, I know that sounds like dramatic.
No, that's exactly the truth.
Even today, I'm not the same as I was.
Oh, God, no.
I used to be a lot more, I don't know, wild.
Social.
Social. Especially social. Very much more carefree and everything. And I'm not as much, I don't know, I'm different than I was. And I don't know how much of that is growing up and how much of it is cocooning myself in because I didn't want people to see.
So on the thing that I question with that is, and I've taught this in my classes before, and maybe I've taught it wrong, but so correct me if I am. But I used to teach this idea that the more you held on to somebody, the more you controlled them, the more you kept them out of, say, the girls' night thing, the more you made that a taboo situation, the more they wanted it. The more that became a thing, I'm going to do this, to almost to defy you, to make it so that this is a sticking point. This is something I'm going to do because this is me. Whereas when you let go of that, when that becomes a go have your girls' night, go take your weekend in Savannah or your 2 weeks in Italy to see your brother or whatever, it becomes less of a, well, I have to do this now to defy you. And it becomes more of a, I now have an option. Maybe I don't necessarily want to do it.
I think it depends on how broken you are. I know that in the beginning of our relationship, had you said no, it would have been a defying thing, right? It would have been like, oh no, I'm doing it. But after you wear someone down for so long, it doesn't become that point anymore. Then it's, I don't even want to bring it up because we already are going to fight over so much stupid crap. Why would I bring something else up that I know is just going to lead to a fight? It depends on how broken you are. You know, now that I'm not worn down or whatever, and I'm not like, I'm not afraid of you anymore. If you, when you do make things like a, we're not doing that, we're lying in the sand, you know, ultimatum crap, that's when I'm going to, no, I'm doing it. I don't care. Come at me, bro.
Yeah. And I think now there's a different approach to that than there used to be. Now it's less of, I'm going to rain holy hell down on you, and more of, I'm going to be sad and watch a sad movie, maybe play some sad music and get over myself the next day and be like, whatever, hope you had fun.
Maybe get a little passive aggressive.
Probably get a little passive aggressive. I'm good at that too. Again, I have a talent for every kind of aggression.
That's true. Passive aggressive, full on aggressive.
It's all the same, right?
It can be. It can be. Lots of fun.
So I want to kind of cut it short, close to the half hour mark. What would you say to somebody who currently is living in that situation, hoping that the person they're with can, I hate to use me as an example because I'm God knows not the example to be held on high, but the person who is with that abusive relationship, physical, emotional, whatever, who's hoping for that transformation of that person, that he can change too.
He can. Oh, that's 100% right. He can change. Anyone can change. I can win the lottery. These are all things within the realm of possibility, but you have to buy a ticket. He has to want to change. And chances are he doesn't. love you. And I'm not saying this in a negative way towards men or whatever in general, but why would he change? He's got everything he wants. He's got you cut off from everyone. He's got you waiting for his next instruction. He's got you under his thumb. Why would he change anything? Even you, the reason why you changed is because you were put in a situation where someone challenged you to your core. It wasn't me. I did not help you. I did not change you. I didn't do anything. I got dumb enough to stay with you longer than I should have. And I didn't want a way out because I kept seeing this glimmer of hope, but it was all fool's gold. You were never going to mine yourself out and be a gem. You had to have someone else challenge you to your core. So yes, he can change. It's not going to be you that can change him. Because, well, in my situation, it wasn't me that could change you. Because if I could have changed you, you would have already changed. We were 4 years deep. 4 years deep, and you never once changed at all. You got worse. And I got more and more scared. And I got more and more just fed up and angry with myself. And I started hating myself for allowing it. And, you know, it was this failure on both of our behalfs, right? Like, your failure was the fact that I didn't get my intimacy from you. And my failure was the fact that I was going to be, you know, another statistic of a girl that got married young and got divorced young and blah, blah, blah. And so sad. So I guess my advice to them would be, you're not going to change him. Find him something that will get him help. But at the end of the day, he can sit through whatever. And unless he actually hears something that changes him, or hears something that makes him want to change, or hears something that challenges his current belief system and shakes him to his core, he's not going to. He's not. So yeah, people can change, but they have to want to.
I agree. I think that is literally the only reason that I changed is because I got lucky enough, God yeah. knows how lucky enough, to find the anger management class that I had mm-hmm. with the teacher that I had who wasn't going to listen to my bullshit. Okay. Wasn't going to go, oh, you're right. That was an awful thing. He was going to, no, dude, really? Is that it? Really how that went down? Mm-hmm. Is that really what you're going to tell me is the truth in this situation? You want to try again? And as much as I hated it for the first 6 weeks of that class.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Oh, no. He was an idiot.
It was a joke.
He was the biggest idiot on the planet. He had no idea what he was talking about yep. at all.
Yep.
It was, I don't even remember what happened, honestly. It was, but there was a moment where it was like, oh shit, this makes sense.
It's me.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully this wasn't a complete waste of time and boring for everybody. I appreciate you sharing that. I don't know how difficult it was. Hopefully it wasn't too terribly painful.
Very awkward. I'm not sure how this went.
All right, guys. Well, I appreciate you listening. Hopefully she'll join us again with more stories. We'll see. I'm getting a dirty look at the moment. Probably not. But thanks for listening, guys. If you enjoyed this, please take a moment to leave me a review on iTunes. Find more ways to get in touch with me on my website at angerpodcast.com. There you can leave me comments and find great info about the show. That anger management crap can work for us all. Thanks for listening and stay safe.